This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We want to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station in Memphis that's carrying Mark Dantos, America, and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider conventional radio audience in the American South. We are joined today by Commander Dave Lewis, the research officer of the USS Liberty. At the time of Israel's attack upon that vessel on June the 8th, 1967. And we have an excellent caller, Jim, who's been in conversation with Dave Lewis in regard to this so-called Board of Inquiry. This involved apparently Admiral Isaac Kidd. It involved John McCain's father, Admiral McCain. By some coincidence, it has nothing to do with the most cogent points on this show, by the way. I attended Admiral McCain's retirement ceremony on September the 1st, 1972, at Hickam Air Force Base in Hawaii. I had nothing to do with it other than the fact that my dad was stationed at Hickam at the time as a colonel, and I just walked up to the big mall there at Hickam next to the large water tower that the Japanese used as a reference point when they attacked Hickam in 1941, and I saw Richard Nixon presiding over Admiral McCain's retirement ceremony. Added that to my portfolio of interesting events that I experienced growing up in the service. Had no idea at the time who Admiral McCain was, and had no idea who his son would end up becoming, and certainly had no idea that Admiral McCain would be involved in something as nefarious as what we're now talking about in the air, in apparently covering up Israel's role in attacking the USS Liberty when it came to this so-called formal Board of Naval Inquiry. But back to my guest, Dave Lewis, and back to the caller, Jim. You guys pick it up where we were before the last commercial break, keeping in mind that we've got another break coming up in a few minutes and then a longer period of time for more conversation. Go ahead.
Jim, are you aware of Ward Boston?
Yeah. He was the one who conducted
his sworn affidavit.
Right. He was a legal officer at the inquiry, I believe.
Yes.
He made an affidavit in the 90s, I believe, or maybe it's 2000-something that... about what he was ordered to do and how he was ordered to do it and so forth.
And he admits that they had been ordered to find it accidental.
Right. Yeah, I'm aware of that. But before anybody might think that I'm bashing the officer corps, in some respect I must. Mark's father was a colonel, I understand, in the Air Force, and you were an officer in the Navy. That for all the peons out there that don't understand how the system works, a cardinal no-no for the officer corps is to desert their men when they're being attacked, when it's within their means to rescue them or attempt to rescue them, and they do nothing. That is a cardinal sin as far as the officer corps is concerned.
Well, on the subject of the command of Sixth Fleet, Admiral Martin, he sent a message to the Liberty saying he had never been on an intelligence collector and he wanted to come visit. And we were in a panic because they'd have to highline him over. We had no helopad or anything. When all of a sudden a message came through saying, sorry, I'm busy, I can't make it. And then later he said he knew nothing about the USS Liberty being there.
Well, he caught McNamara's disease, I guess.
He caught McNamara's disease, that's right.
But to go back to this, the officer corps motto, I believe, is duty, honor, country.
Yeah.
And as far as Admiral Geis, he done his duty, and with some honor, but everybody above him, as far as I'm concerned, then and now has no honor, because you do not allow something like that to happen. An officer has options, which an enlisted man doesn't, as you well know. An officer at any time can resign his commission in protest, and it has to be accepted.
Of the 34 sailors murdered that day, 28 worked for me, and that wouldn't have happened if the planes had come and drawn out for torpedo boats.
Absolutely.
Which we need to emphasize that at least Admiral Geis did the right thing. This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. We'll be back with Commander Dave Lewis of the USS Liberty. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes, and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
We're back. This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Commander Dave Lewis, who was the research officer for the USS Liberty on June the 8th, 1967. And I have all kinds of things yet to ask Dave, but I also want to give Jim a chance to continue with the conversation as well. And Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross in the American Free Press sends me something in regard to Ward Boston. You know, that was a name that has come up several times. It came up on Gary Brummett's appearance on this show on Friday, and Dave Lewis has mentioned Captain Ward Boston as well. Mark Glenn has authorized me to mention on the air that Ward Boston was also an FBI agent for several years. Mark Glenn talked to him last night and authorized me to say on the air that Ward Boston agreed with Mark Glenn's theory that one of the reasons the U.S. government is so afraid of displacing Israel is because Israel has threatened to nuke the United States, and the Jonathan Pollard spy case is one of the things that has given them the ability to do it. Now, I won't necessarily ask our guests to comment on that, but that might make for an interesting future show in regard to Ward Boston and what he perceives about all of these events. So we'll throw that one into the mix as well. Jim, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still with you.
Go, if you had some other things you wanted to ask, Dave, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, wasn't there a Russian ship in the vicinity, not a submarine, some other kind of ship that offered assistance after you guys were trying to limp back into port?
Yeah, when no U.S. vessels came to our assistance, a Russian ship came by and offered to help. We flagged it off.
Yeah, that doesn't sound to me like that the Russians were prepared to nuke Israel, that they didn't know what was going on. They probably knew exactly what was going on.
Well, the Russians did have a submarine with orders to launch as soon as the first U.S. bombs dropped on Egypt.
Right, I can understand that, but that they wouldn't launch just because Israel was attacking the Liberty. They wouldn't launch on account of that. They probably knew what was going on as far as the Liberty is concerned.
I suspect they did.
So that there was no danger of them launching as far as the planes coming to the rescue of the Liberty.
Now, had the
planes flown onto Egypt heading for Cairo, you can understand maybe, but not to just come to the rescue of the Liberty, they wouldn't.
Johnson hated Gamal Abdel Nasser so bad that he was willing to nuke Egypt to get rid of him. Egypt was a vassal of the Russians at the time.
Right.
So that's what brought the Russians in. If the U.S. had dropped bombs on Egypt, Russia had authorized their submarine to eliminate Israel.
I almost wish it would have happened if that were true, exactly, for sure. It might have caused a lot less problems in the last almost 40 years had that happened. But, I remember reading about the Russian ship that offered assistance. And didn't an Israeli helicopter or another Israeli ship offer assistance?
Israeli helicopter came over and dropped a rock with a bag of oranges and a calling card from the naval attaché in Israel among the pieces and parts of a human being scattered on the deck with a note, "Have you casualties?"
Yeah.
It was Commander Castle.
That sounded like kind of like a slap in the face, have you casualties.
Yeah.
800 and some holes in the ship, including a 40-foot hole where the torpedo went.
846 holes, including one 28 by 34 feet.
Yeah, well, there might accidentally have been someone stubbed a toe or something, they figured.
casualties.
The whole thing is so ridiculous, you could write a comedy movie about this. So ridiculous. The excuses that they give and the answers they give. And this professor or judge that wrote that book, I've read reviews of his book, mostly glowing when they come from the Israeli press. But that's another farce, his entire explanations.
Well, if you want another comedy, are you aware of the War Room IDF board in Tel Aviv? They had identified the USS Liberty, and they were plotting it.
Yeah.
And they changed the watch, so they took everything off the board.
Yeah.
The new watch is supposed to learn over again.
That's the way war rooms normally operate. At the end of the shift, everybody takes everything off and shut down all the radios.
Right.
I mean, this is so ridiculous, the stories they give out. I understand that the Israeli planes and the military were also being monitored by our ambassador in Beirut at the time. They had the means to monitor what was going on, and he knew firsthand who was attacking and what they were doing.
Yep.
Is that true? Do you know of
it seems odd that the only frequencies that Israel jammed were the U.S. naval broadcasting frequencies.
Well, they probably did that because they had a change of shifts going on, so they had to shut everything down, and they figured, why not just jam this one frequency, you know? Well, we're off the air, so to speak. We'll jam this frequency.
Yes. Let's just hope that nobody jams our frequency because we're talking about this stuff in the air.
And
Dave, I just wanted to ask Dave one question in all of this. Gary Brummett, Dave, made reference to this, I believe, on Friday. And I wanted to get your take on this as well. After you guys were hit, the Liberty, I guess, ended up going to Malta for dry dock repair, which was 6 days away. There was a dry dock in Crete that was only a day away. Why the decision to go to Malta instead of to Crete?
I have no idea whatever, Mark. I was on medevac to the America, and I wasn't privy to anything that was going on the ship. When I was medevac off the America, I was pulled into Malta, flew into Malta, and was forced to cool my heels on the plane for 8 hours. They wouldn't let us off the plane because the Court of Inquiry was going on, and we weren't allowed to be near it.
Yes, and you know what's interesting about that Board of Inquiry, getting back for a minute to James Ennis's article in June of 1993 for the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, Ennis indicates that at one point there was some correspondence with Ted Kennedy in regarding to get him to look into this USS Liberty thing. And initially there seemed to be some positive interaction with the senator on this subject, and some of the initial correspondence indicated that there was, some hope that maybe Senator Kennedy was going to make an honest attempt on this thing. And then Kennedy supposedly studied the situation for a year, and then he came back to in a letter to the survivors and indicated that the whole thing ended up largely being dropped. And I guess there was some reference to the fact that, there's been a board of inquiry that has looked into all of this. And yet, as Ennis underscores it here, and I think this needs to be something that we really hit upon today, the board of inquiry, quoting directly from what James Ennis has written here in this June 1993 article, the Navy's investigation, quote-unquote, examined only the quality of the crew's training, the adequacy of communications, and the performance of the crew under fire. The Navy was forbidden to examine Israeli culpability, and Navy investigators refused to allow testimony showing that the attack was deliberate or that Israel's excuse was untrue. And then, of course, we can add to that mix your statement today, Dave, that you have never been asked to testify about any of this before any official board of inquiry.
May I bring another facet of that into the conversation?
Sure, absolutely.
One of our staunchest supporters right now is Rear Admiral Marlon Starring. Admiral Starring was the legal officer for Admiral John McCain in London, who convened the Court of Inquiry. And when the Court of Inquiry came back, it was given to him for review. He said he stayed up until 3 o'clock in the morning going over it. He could find nothing to justify the finding of accidental. And he went to sleep for a couple hours, and he came back, and he found out it had been taken from his desk. And he went to ask why, and Admiral McCain said he'd provided his own endorsement and forwarded it on to Washington. Well, Admiral Starring subsequently became the chief of the JAG Corps, senior lawyer in the U.S. Navy. And he looked over the Court of Inquiry that had been forwarded, and it had been modified. He had put initials on several things, and the initials were no longer there. There were paragraphs missing, paragraphs added, so it wasn't even the Court of Inquiry he tried to review. And
yes,
that's the only investigation. Judge Crystal says there have been 14 of them, but that's the only one that's ever been investigated, the attack.
It seems to me, when I was in college, for some reason, I wasn't studying the thing in any of my classes at the time as a freshman at Valparaiso University, but I became interested in this Pearl Harbor thing, and I was reading the Roberts Commission's report on what happened at Pearl Harbor. And I suppose one could make the charge that was kind of the Warren Commission of its day. And then, of course, I later read the Warren Commission report and their take on what happened with John Kennedy. It seems that now, for those of us like me who are newcomers to the USS Liberty tragedy in regard to any inside take on what happened, we get back to these so-called official boards of inquiry, and we see a complete discrepancy between what those boards have concluded and the data of many critical eyewitnesses that was not even initially given a chance to be offered. What is that telling us? We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Commander Dave Lewis of the USS Liberty. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom. But without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders' political and religious working behind the scenes and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Commander Dave Lewis, the research officer from the USS Liberty on June the 8th, 1967. We've talked about a lot of interesting things today, just as we did with Gary Brummett on Friday. And in relation to what Dave has told us today, his conversations with Admiral Weiss on June 8, 1967, I think, are particularly pivotal in understanding the role of Admiral Geis, in ordering these fighters scrambled from the Saratoga and the USS America to help the Liberty, and the role of Bob McNamara and presumably Lyndon Johnson in enacting a stand-down order. I wanted to mention something else, Dave, that during the commercial break, I pulled up something from the USS Liberty Survivor site at ussliberty.org. There's a fascinating affidavit on there, a declaration given by a fellow by the name of James Ronald Gotcher. And he references this so-called critic message system that you talked about here in the show today. The long and the short of it is that Gotcher, James Ronald Gotcher III of California, on June 8, 1967, was a sergeant in the United States Air Force assigned to this 6924th Security Squadron in Da Nang, the Republic of Vietnam. During early evening local time on June 8th, Gotcher received a critic message, or the Security Squadron at Da Nang did, indicating to Gotcher and the other people there at the squadron that the USS Liberty was under attack by Israeli aircraft. Shortly thereafter, we began receiving rough translations of the Israeli air-to-air and air-to-ground communications. The next day, we received the final translations of the intercepts. There was virtually no difference between the two versions. While I have a clear recollection, Gotcher says, of reading transcripts of conversations between pilots and controllers, I do not recall ever reading anything similar to the transcripts recently released by the National Security Agency concerning Israeli helicopter pilots. It was clear from the explicit statements made about the American ship, quote-unquote, by both the aircraft crews and the controllers that the aircraft were flying a planned mission to find and sink the USS Liberty. Gotcher continues, my understanding of what I read led me to conclude that the Israeli pilots were making every effort possible to sink the USS Liberty and were very frustrated by their inability to do so. Approximately 10 days to 2 weeks later, we received an internal NSA report summarizing the agency's findings. The report stated in no uncertain terms that the attack was planned in advance and deliberately executed. The mission was to sink USS Liberty. A few days after the report arrived, another message came through directing the document control officer to gather and destroy all copies of both the rough and final intercept translations, as well as the subsequently issued report. After the destruction of these documents, I saw nothing further on this subject. I have read the translated transcripts released by the Israeli government, which purport to be actual transcripts of the air-to-ground communications between the controllers and the attacking aircraft. I know this document to be a fabrication because I have read the actual intercepts and they were nothing like this. It is not possible that the differences could be due to different translations being used. If called upon to testify, I am competent to testify to all of the foregoing on the basis of direct observation and personal knowledge, dated May 17, 2004. That's James Ronald Gotcher III of the state of California, who in 1967, June 8th specifically, was a United States Air Force sergeant assigned to the 6924th Security Squadron, Da Nang, Republic of Vietnam. I wonder what Judge Crystal would say about James Ronald Gotcher. I guess we can't trust him either.
Ron Gotcher is also the one who prepared the war crimes report that we filed 2 years ago that the government refuses to investigate.
What is in that war crimes report?
The war crimes report proves beyond any shadow of a doubt that the attack was premeditated and deliberate. It points out the violations of the Geneva Convention, such things as using the napalm and shooting out the life rafts and lifeboats after we've launched them. The intent was obviously to leave no survivors. Also, there was a helicopter gunship overhead after the torpedo attack. They didn't do anything, but I assume they were there to pick off survivors when the ship went down.
Definitely a war crime, and coming from our chief ally in the region, quote-unquote. And, you know, as I listened to your account, Commander, and what Gary Brummett had to say on Friday, you know, I go back again to the piece that Eric Margolis wrote for the Toronto Sun in May of 2001 on this subject. Margolis does a nice job of giving military lay people like myself the opportunity to understand the chronology of Israeli surveillance and that preceded the attack, and then subsequently the aerial attack, which was followed by the torpedo attack, and of course the strafings on the lifeboats and all the rest of it. But when you read the Margolis account and the number of people in the American political establishment, including Dean Rusk, who admitted apparently that he knew the truth and that Israel did attack that ship and that it was deliberate. One of the things that Margolis mentions in that piece, which I'd like to ask you after the commercial break, is a CIA report which pins the pins the attack and the commissioning of the attack on Moshe Dayan. We will be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Commander Dave Lewis of the USS Liberty. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky. The ozone layer, unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Sole salt lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation, and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYWellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Sole wellness products, created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Sole Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274. 866-497-0274.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Commander Dave Lewis, the research officer for the USS Liberty on June the 8th, 1967. And before I re-engage Dave in conversation, I just wanted to mention that Dr. Stephen Snigoski, Ph.D. from the University of Maryland, and a very, very significant contributor to The Last Ditch, will be on this show on Wednesday morning. For 3 hours to discuss the Israeli lobby and the role of the Israeli lobby in pushing us closer to a war with Iran. And a guy by the name of John Sharp, who used to be in the U.S. Navy and is no longer, for reasons that we will discuss with Dr. Snigoski on Wednesday, is going to be one of the topics of this show. I guarantee for those of you who have been interested in what we've been talking about in the last couple of days, you'll want to listen to Dr. Stephen Snigoski of The Last Ditch. And if you want to read that website, either Google the thing or go to markdankoff.com, my website, and go to the links page and click on the last ditch. They have a fairly lengthy URL, which I won't read over the air because you would never get it down properly. I have trouble with it too. But just go to markdankoff.com and click on the last ditch on my links page, or do a Google search on the last ditch and Dr. Steven Snigoski, and you'll see what's coming up on Wednesday morning. Dave, back to our conversation then. According to Eric Margolis of the Toronto Sun, in addition to the fact that Dean Rusk and Admiral Moore insisted that the attack was deliberate, we have a situation where there were three separate CIA reports that said that the attack was deliberate, according to Margolis, and that one of those asserted that Israel's defense minister, General Moshe Dayan, had personally ordered the attack. Have you seen any evidence on that? Do you think that that's credible?
I've seen a report. I haven't seen anything further on that subject.
Yes. Well,
so
I
couldn't testify.
Yes. Well, it certainly looks credible to me. Yeah. I have a lot of respect for Eric Margolis as a reporter and in terms of the factual character of what he says. I think it's absolutely significant here that when we get back to this Jay Bird, Jay Crystal, this federal bankruptcy judge in Florida who made 13 trips to Israel and has been trying to discredit the notion that the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty was deliberate, Crystal is not only offering us information that flies in the face of all of the eyewitnesses who were there, who were involved in various roles of command responsibility in that situation at the time, but he's also contradicting former U.S. Secretary of State Dean Rusk and Joint Chiefs of Staff Head Admiral Moore, who say it was deliberate. He's also contradicting three separate reports of the Central Intelligence Agency. So presumably Judge Crystal knows more about this than all of you put together, and I think the listeners will be able to draw their own conclusions on that one. In regard then to the emotional aspects of this for you, Dave, being the research officer, I think it's safe to say that you knew all 297 people aboard, that there were 34 people killed, 171 wounded. You knew all of those folks, and you, like the other people that were on that ship that day, have been living with the ugly character of this memory for four decades. You've been among those, along with Gary Brummert, who have been trying to get the truth out to the American public and to demand some accountability of our government in regard to Israel's complicity in all of this. What kind of an emotional toll has this taken upon you and your family and some of the other survivors who've still been trying to fight this thing out in regard to getting the truth told?
I think the hardest thing for me is two individuals that worked for me, Lieutenant Jim Pierce, the communications officer, and Chief Raymond Lynn, the senior chief in the communications division. They both came to me in Norfolk with retirement papers, and I called them both in the presence of each other, and I said, it'd be horrible to have no continuity. Wouldn't one of you agree to take one more deployment for me to provide some sense of continuity? And they both said, for you, Commander, we'll both go. And they both went, and they both died. Both of them were entitled to retirement. Of the 34 that were killed, 28 were killed by that torpedo, and they all worked for me. So I have reason to want to see their deaths vindicated.
Yes, and presumably in the last 40 years, because of the type of person you are, you've had ongoing contact, I'm sure, in the four decades since, from time to time, with some of the loved ones and closest friends and family members of these 171 people. And that, in conjunction with what you've just told us about your encounter with these two men, convincing them to stay on before that fateful day, is something the dimensions of which I can only imagine. I mean, I have never experienced anything that was even close to that kind of trauma, and I've not always had an easy life, but I've not experienced anything that comes even close to this, particularly over a 40-year period of time. And I think it's important for the listeners to grasp the fact that, much like many of the victims of the conflict in Southeast Asia and some of the victims of this present situation in the Middle East, that we are talking about ramifications in the lives of the survivors and the family members that do not go away. This isn't something that happens one day and in 3 months you're over it. It's something that continues for the rest of your life. Is that a fair statement, Commander?
Oh, that certainly is. I know that I should not consider myself guilty, but had I not coerced them, they'd both have lived through it.
Yes, and yet I think, and I happen to be a Lutheran pastor, by the way, do that on the side, and I would affirm
I'm a Congregationalist deacon.
Hey, that's certainly a part of the larger church Catholic that I affirm, and yes. I would simply say to you that both you and I know that we're not God, so we're not omniscient. Yes. You could not possibly have foreseen what happened. And when I think of your motivations for wanting those men to stay on, your motivations were the same ones as those of the two men who responded in the affirmative, yes. that they would stay on because of the larger sense of mission that they had for the USS Liberty. Along with their personal regard for you as the research officer of the Liberty. So I think in the aftermath of all of that, that you're certainly off the hook, as Admiral Geis is off the hook in terms of any moral culpability for this. What do we say, however? Admiral Kidd's name has come up, of course, in this conversation that we had with Jim today. Admiral McCain's name has come up in connection with this board of inquiry. There is certainly a lot that the Navy, according to James Ennis, whose testimony I accept, deliberately excluded from any degree of serious examination in this whole thing. For those who were involved in this conspiracy of silence and an effort to engage, if not legally, at least morally, in what I would consider to be obstruction of justice, maybe the better question today is, how do these people that still remain live with the burden of that? And since you weren't one of them, obviously you're speculating, as I would be speculating, but how do you think that they live with themselves?
Well, I have no idea how McNamara can live with himself. Maybe he is losing his mind so it doesn't bother him. That's the most charitable thing I could say of him.
Well, I think my father is a retired Air Force full colonel of your vintage. I don't think my dad would want me to suggest this on the air, so I'll say that it's tongue-in-cheek, but I think my dad was one of the guys in the Air Force who was very loyal to General Curtis LeMay, and I think they suspected that McNamara was out of his mind 45 years ago, but that will be left for God to determine. But in regard to your own situation, do you have occasions where you still dream about this sort of thing at night, or where you suddenly have a flashback or a memory that seems as powerful as it was at the moment?
Well, I guess I'm fortunate. Most of my ship has PTSD. I think I was saved by the amnesia that I had from the time of the attack until the time I regained consciousness. I missed all of the gore and... No, I haven't dreamt about it. My conscience bothers me during the day, but I haven't been bothered at night.
Without asking you to betray personal confidences, which I know you wouldn't do anyway because you're a person of honor, in regard to speaking generally at this point, have some of your shipmates confided to you privately over the course of many decades that they've had these kinds of horrific flashback experiences and things that were very, very difficult for them to manage psychologically and emotionally?
Oh, yes. Most of them have. Most of them have.
Yeah, and I would imagine, as I speculate about this, as one who wasn't there that day, wasn't involved, I have never had that kind of an experience in combat. It seems to me that in the case of the USS Liberty, that the tragedy and the psychological aftermath of the whole thing is compounded by circumstances surrounding this so-called Naval Board of Inquiry and surrounding some of the things that we now know about McNamara and Johnson, that would suggest very strongly that if treason wasn't committed by a certain number of people, they were certainly skating on thin ice and getting very close to it. And in regard to some of these men who survived, and thinking of some of the family members of those who did not, that they have to have a special brand of bitterness, knowing then in addition to being attacked by a nation that was quote-unquote our ally, that you can make what I think is an excellent prima facie case for the fact that the United States government was deliberately involved in an effort to keep the truth from coming out. That has to stick pretty hard in the craw.
May I speak to something concerning the national involvement?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
We've had one hell of a job getting anything released, but of the released documents that have been highly censored, occasionally they leave a word in that rings a bell. We know that the 303 Committee was involved in the attack. Have you heard of the 303 Committee?
No, I have not, sir. Enlighten us.
That is the CIA committee that permits the deniability of the presidency.
The so-called doctrine of plausible deniability.
Yes, yes.
Which is a great way of saying that this is officially sanctioned lying, but go ahead.
Right.
This is the 303 committee, okay?
And the 303 committee was tied to Project Frontlet 615, and that was tied to the USS Liberty. Now, what Frontlet 615 is, they refused to tell us, just that it existed.
Boy, that's absolutely incredible. And, you know, one of the things that comes to my mind as a layperson in regard to trying to analyze all of this is that it seems to me that as we start opening up the lid on this USS Liberty, that there's a Pandora's box there where we may not be in a position even to this day to really know all of the implications of this, not simply for what happened then, but stuff that remains concealable now for things that pertain to current American national security and Middle Eastern policy.
The day I checked aboard, Lieutenant Pierce called me aside into his office, and he said that there is a sealed file in my safe that can be viewed only by you and the commanding officer, called Project Cyanide. He says it pertains to the ability for us to use submarine communications in the event of a nuclear war. In the event of a nuclear war, are you familiar with the EMP, the electromagnetic pulse?
Just with what I've read about it as a layperson and things that Eric Margolis and Paul Craig Roberts have said about it.
The EMP would eliminate all atmospheric communications worldwide for probably several days. Submarines, however, communicate through the Earth. So this so-called document supposedly allowed me in the time of a war to communicate using the submarines through the Earth when all other communications were eliminated. And I guess that's where the name for the book Project Cyanide came from. Have you seen that book?
I have not seen the book, but Gary mentioned it to me on Friday and mentioned the name Peter Hunan as the individual who wrote the book about Project Cyanide, and I'm in the process of trying to see if I can't locate Hunan and also locate a copy of the book to bring that information before the listeners.
He does not state it explicitly, but if you follow his line of reasoning and all the documentation he provides, you have to come to the conclusion that it was the intent of Israel to sink the Liberty, destroy, kill all survivors, and bring us into World War III.
Wow. And presumably to do so in a situation where Israel perhaps perceived that the Six-Day War was presenting it with an opportunity to expand its borders
the Middle East.
And to take over the Middle East, potentially from the Nile to the Euphrates, going back to the maps of some of the original Zionists in terms of their perceptions of a greater Israel. But the notion that the government of Israel would have been draconian enough to do what they did to the Liberty in the context of this larger agenda, to me, is not only horrifying in regard to what we look at from 40 years ago, but as we look at this present situation with Iran, I lived in Iran years ago as a young person when I was in college. My father was a director of logistics for the Shah of Iran's Imperial Iranian Air Force at the time, working for the Lockheed Company. And I was, in those days, at a Lutheran college outside of Chicago and would fly over to Iran every summer to see my parents. And when I think about the regard that I have for the people of Iran and what I was able to learn as a lay person over a period of years studying Iranian history and Iranian culture, I'm looking at the present case that the Israeli lobby is trying to make for destroying that country, and it provides the same sort of disturbing scenario that seems to be mirrored in what Israel was trying to do in a larger Middle Eastern war in 1967, the truth of which I think continues to be obscured, and it may well be that the truth about what happened to the Liberty, if it ever got out, would uncover the rest of these plans.
It probably would.
Yes.
It would be like dominoes. If you could finally get to the truth here, then it would force other truths out.
Yes. Yeah. Boy, that's incredible.
The Liberty can't happen again. I was partially responsible for that.
Commander, we're going to be right back after a commercial break. Hold that thought, and we'll get right to it. Mark Dankos, America, will return live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network with Commander Dave Lewis, the ex-research officer of the USS Liberty. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes, and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're in the closing minutes of our show with Commander Dave Lewis, the former research officer of the USS Liberty, who was in that post on June the 8th, 1967. Dave has made so many important points today in regard to things like Committee 305, Frontlet 615, Project Cyanide, Peter Hunan's book on the subject. Dave's personal conversations with Admiral Geis, I think, are at the heart of some of his testimony today. This is something that we absolutely need to underscore as key to trying to unravel what did happen on that fateful day, as well as beginning to demand some accountability of our own government in regard to its covering up of Israel's direct role of involvement in a premeditated military attack on our vessel, keeping in mind that both Dean Rusk and Admiral Moore were convinced that that attack was premeditated and deliberate. That conclusion is shared by three separate CIA reports, including one that indicates that General Moshe Dayan personally ordered the attack. And this is in contradiction of the words of a Jewish federal bankruptcy court judge in Florida, Jay Kristol, who seems to think that he knows more about this than the survivors of the USS Liberty and more than former Secretary of State Dean Rusk and the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Thomas Moore, and three separate CIA reports, one of which fingers Moshe Dayan as the one who actually ordered the pulling of the trigger on the USS Liberty. And it seems to me that as we look at this whole issue, that it has implications for the present. If the information surrounding the USS Liberty had been made available for the U.S. public at the time, would it have changed our perceptions of Israel? Would it have changed our Middle Eastern policy? Would we be in Iraq right now at the behest of Jewish-Israeli interests and the neoconservatives like Richard Perle, who were the unseen hands behind the decision to go into that country in March of 2007, would we be talking about attacking Iran today in a preemptive military strike that might involve tactical nuclear weapons? Would all of that be a part of our present package if the truth of this USS Liberty incident had been fully aired before the American people in the late 1960s? I don't think so. But I guess we'll never know. It wasn't done properly at the time. Maybe it will yet happen. Commander, do you think in your lifetime that the truth of this will ever be fully aired before the American public?
I'd love to think that I'd live long enough to see it happen, but no, I don't honestly believe that.
Yes, and that to me has to be maybe the ultimate tragedy that you have to live with. You were talking about your personal role in convincing these two gentlemen to stay on in their duties in the Navy prior to the USS Liberty tragedy. Of course, you knew all 297 people aboard, including the 34 who lost their lives and the 171 who were wounded, you know, many of their extended family members. With all of the pain that you have endured where this is concerned over 40 years, do you think that that tragedy is going to be repeated in new and different ways in our present situation in the Middle East? How do we get out of this thing? What do you think needs to be done in terms of Iraq and Iran?
Well, I think it all hinges on Israel and Palestine. If we had treated both countries equally, we wouldn't be in the dilemma that we're in now. Right now, we've alienated the entire Muslim world, and we've subjected the Palestinians to virtual slavery for all these many years. And I don't think until that's resolved will we ever be at peace with the world again.
More evidence coming from Commander Dave Lewis, the ex-research officer.